The following audio is from Park Church in Denver, Colorado. More information about Park Church is available online at parkchurchdenver.org.
Well, good evening. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Thank you. It's really good to worship with you all. Really glad that you're all here. My name is Gary. I'm one of the pastors here at Park Church. It's a joy to worship Jesus together with you. It's a joy to gather together as the people of God, to sing praises to our God who entered into human history, who took on flesh, who dwelt among us to redeem us from our sin. It's just a joy to celebrate. So it's been beautiful already this evening. A couple of particular welcomes. For those of you that are new to Park Church, we're really glad that you're here. Thank you for coming to celebrate with us. We get to celebrate and rejoice in this Savior, this King, week after week after week. And for you to come and join us on Christmas Eve is a gift and a blessing. So we're thankful that you'd come and join us in that. And also, for the children among us, let me say, how many kids in here under the age of 14? If you just want to raise up your hand. If you don't know how old you are, you're under 14, I promise. Just raise your hand. We are so, so happy that you're here. Let me ask you all a question, okay? What is tomorrow? Say it real loud. What's tomorrow? Christmas. It's Christmas. It is tomorrow. It's tomorrow. You have waited and waited and waited, and it is finally here. It's tomorrow. We want to tell you that it is a joy for you to sit here with your moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandparents, and to worship Jesus together with us as a gift. And we're so thankful for you. Our hope for you is that you would know this Jesus, that you would love him, that you would know him as King and Savior and Lord. And we just want you to know that we're glad that you're here celebrating and worshiping our King together with us. I'm going to take a second here and I'm going to pray. And what that means, I get to talk to God. And I want you all to join together with me as we go before the God of the universe. We believe God is Emmanuel. He's God with us. His Spirit is here with us this evening. And we have the privilege of going before the God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth and everything in them, and asking him to work in our hearts this evening. So would you join me as we go before the God of the universe? Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that in your love for us, you sent Jesus into this world. Jesus, we thank you for coming into this world, for living this life, for walking among us, for your vulnerability, your humility, your tenderness, your love, your kindness, your servant-heartedness, your righteousness and your justice and your boldness and your tenderness. God, you are spectacular in your glory. So thank you, Jesus, for showing us what the character of God is like, and thank you for what you've done through your death for us, washing away our sins, cleansing us. Thank you for your resurrection, giving us life and this hope of restoration and the restoration of all things. And thank you for sending us the Spirit. And so, Spirit of God, we acknowledge you are with us now, tonight. And I want to ask, Spirit, that you would do something remarkable tonight. And I want to ask for every single heart in this room tonight that you would work with power. You have all power and all authority. Would you work in power in the hearts and the spirits of every single person in this room? Would you deepen our joy in you? For those that are hurting tonight in an emotionally complex season, there's joys and there's sorrows. To sing songs with joy is hard when they're right next to those joys, pains. Spirit of God, would you comfort your people tonight? For those who are longing for love, who feel absence of family in this season, maybe a lost loved one or loved ones who are distant or aren't with them this evening, would you remind those children of yours of your love for them, of your presence with them? Would you comfort your people? Deepen our hope in you and our joy in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to start with a confession. All of you kids are really good at waiting. I am horrible at waiting, like really the worst. I'm the type of guy that when I find something anywhere kind of like October and beyond that I really want, instead of telling somebody that I'd like this for Christmas, I say, how about I go ahead and buy it now and it'll just count for my Christmas present. Anybody do that? Anybody kind of this? Anybody not going to be opening up presents this year? That's me. While my family's opening up presents, we got our record player a couple months ago, and so I'm done. So I get to kind of bemoan my own lack of virtue, my lack of patience. Tomorrow, But I have no patience. And if it's a really expensive gift, then my birthday is like right after Christmas. And so I do the whole, it'll count for my birthday and for Christmas, right? Like I'm one of those tax credit babies, right? Like sneak you right in there just to get the tax credit. All the accountants in the room know what I'm talking about. Anyway, all right, at the end of the year. So I'm like horrible at waiting. I like really bad. My wife, on the other hand, like she loves anticipation. She loves waiting for things. In fact, the experience of waiting for something to come is almost as exciting and joyful as the coming of that thing you've been waiting for. Some of you might be like that. I don't know where you're at on this kind of spectrum of anticipation and waiting. If you kind of handle waiting well, or you're like me and you can't handle it well. I think one thing is true of all of us is we all know the experience of waiting. I think waiting is an experience that we as human beings share. We know what it means to wait. Everybody's waiting. You're waiting for something. You're waiting, maybe it's for a job. Maybe you're waiting for, you know, that special someone. Maybe you're waiting for a raise. Maybe you're waiting for kids. Maybe you're waiting for your kids to get to that next stage of life, right? Like maybe you're waiting for your kids to leave the house, or your kids have left the house, and you're waiting for your kids to come back to the house. You're waiting, right? For some people, you're waiting for Christmas break. And then for those of us who have jobs, no more Christmas breaks. And now we just wait for retirement. And it's just like longer waiting, which is way worse. You're waiting for weekends. We're waiting. And the reality is, we're also waiting for some really hard things. There are people in really hard seasons of waiting. You come tonight and you've been waiting for a long time. You have chronic pain. You have a loved one who's been hurting. You have children who are estranged. You have a marriage that's on the rocks, and you're waiting, you're longing for the world to be right again. You're longing for joy. You're longing for something to be established. You're longing for peace. We're all waiting. We're waiting for righteousness, waiting for justice, waiting for love, waiting for acceptance, waiting for rest. And what we're ultimately waiting for, what we're waiting for is the kingdom of God. That you were made to experience joy in the kingdom of God. And that process of waiting kind of like pulls on our hearts. And that's why we've been praying through this season of Advent, Jesus, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. And this is something that would have been a familiar prayer to the people of God throughout history. At the beginning of our service, we had a scripture read from Isaiah chapter 9. And this is the situation of the people in Isaiah chapter 9. These people understood waiting. You see, they're about to face an incredibly dark season. Part of what Isaiah does in this prophecy to the Israelites is he tells them is right ahead of you, darkness is coming, and it's going to get really, really dark. The Mesopotamians are going to invade your country. Your homes are going to get ransacked and pillaged. Your families are going to get separated. You're going to be ripped out of your country and exiled to Babylon. You're going to stay in captivity in Babylon for 70 years under an oppressive government, and it will get very, very dark. And to those people that are going to be walking in darkness, walking in gloom, walking in anguish, these are some of the words that Isaiah uses in Isaiah 8. He gives this prophecy in Isaiah 9, which breaks into those people as incredible news, that they won't be waiting forever. That someday light would break into the darkness. Someday joy would break into the despairing. Someday the kingdom of God would come, and it would come through the birth of a child. Look at what Isaiah says to the people of God by the power of the Spirit in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He will bear the weight of the kingdom of God on his own shoulders by his own strength, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Isaiah makes this promise to people in the midst of darkness that someday a child would be born that would bring light to the darkness. Someday a son would be given that would bring hope to the despairing, that would bring joy to the world. Someday a child would be born that would establish a new kind of kingdom where justice and righteousness and peace and love flourish. Someday. Someday, a child would be born and he would be called Wonderful Counselor. And he would bring comfort to his people, comfort to the hurting, comfort to the pain, those in pain, comfort to those grieving. He would bring comfort into this world. Someday a child would be born, and he would be the mighty God who have the power, who'd have the power to redeem us from our sin, the power to defeat all of his enemies, and the power to restore every aspect of this world that has been broken. Someday. Someday, a child would be born, and he would be the image of the everlasting Father, one who brings comfort to the people and brings people under the arms of a loving Father, where his unconditional love offers a place for you of safety and refuge and security in the midst of the storms of life. Someday. Someday a Prince of Peace would come, and this Prince of Peace would cause all of our sad divisions to cease. The Prince of Peace would take warfare between country and country, bigotry and oppression, and it would all be over with. Divisions in marriage, divisions between parents and children, divisions between co-workers and neighbors, all of it would be ended. And the way that this Prince of Peace would do it is by finally and fully healing the division between humanity and God. That this Prince of Peace would bring us peace with God by saving us from our sin and cleansing us someday. And the people of God got that promise in the midst of thick darkness, that someday God would come. And he would come through the birth of a child. And they waited. And they waited. Some of them probably waited well, and some of them probably didn't wait well. But they waited. Year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation, they waited for the promise. And after 735 years of waiting, on a silent night, on a holy night, in a little town of Bethlehem, something spectacular happened. There were a few shepherds who were out in the fields watching over their sheep at night, and out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord, a messenger of God, this warrior of light, appeared to them, and they were absolutely terrified. This wasn't like some like happy, kind of cool children's book picture. This is like drop to your knees, terrified. They were sore afraid, which means like really freaked out, like really, really scared. They were terrified, and the angel speaks to them in that place of fear, this incredible news. Listen to what the angel says in Luke 2:10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The angel says to these shepherds, do not be afraid. And not just to those shepherds, but to all of us and all of our fears, do not be afraid. Because I have good news for you. And this good news is the type of news that will actually bring you deep, lasting joy. And it's joy that's not just for the shepherds, not just for those in the little town of Bethlehem, not just for those in Israel. This is joy for the world. This is joy for you. That the news that the angels brought on that night, what happened on that night, is good news that brings great joy for you. That Jesus Christ was born for your joy. For your joy. What's the news the angel gives? He says, I have good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the day after 735 years of waiting that someday became this day. That not this kind of someday in this distant future, this thing's going to happen. But the angel says, this day, it is this day, and it's to you, the child that was promised, has been born. And this child is a Savior, Christ the Lord. He's the King. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. And the Lord was born for your joy. That Jesus entered into the darkness to bring us joy in the midst of the darkness. I feel like many of us here still live in the midst of the someday. Someday I'll have enough money and then I can experience joy in life. Someday I'll have that relationship and then I can experience love and peace and acceptance. Someday I'll have that kind of next situation where finally the world will feel less chaotic and I can rest someday. And the call of Christmas and what we celebrate tonight is that day is not someday. That day is available for you now, this day. This day, there's a Savior who is born for you. And this Savior was born for your joy. Because what this Savior did is reconcile you to God, the fountain of joy. You see, this Jesus, this baby, comes into the world, then he lives this life in the midst of the darkness with vulnerability, with humility. He suffered loss and pain. He suffered abandonment and betrayal. He suffered temptation. He suffered homelessness and poverty. He can sympathize with you in your sorrow. This Jesus. And then he took all of that sorrow and he carried it. And he carried it up a hill. And at the top of that hill, he took this cross and it was mounted. And this Jesus was nailed to this cross, not just bearing the sorrow of the world, but bearing the sin of humanity. And on this cross, this Jesus who knew no sin, he became sin. This Jesus who wasn't the cause of the curse, he became the curse, and he was separated from his Father. This Father that had sent him into the world, Jesus is separated from the Father, paying the penalty for our sins, experiencing the wrath of God on our behalf so that we could be reconciled to God, the fountain of joy. And this Jesus, this baby who grew up to be a man and died on this cross, he rose again and he is the King of the universe. And he reigns tonight. He reigns now. And he says to you, come, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because I came into this world for your joy. So the call of Christmas is come to Jesus. It's his kingdom that you long for. It's his kingdom that you're waiting for. And he's the king that you were made to know. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come right now and we ask for your grace towards us. And I pray in the midst of this evening, as people wrestle with distractions, thinking about later on tonight or tomorrow, as people feel loss and pain, as people feel numbness and apathy, Spirit of God, would you work in power right now to help people to see Jesus and come and adore him? Jesus, you are King. You're worthy of all of our praise. You're worthy of our love. And we thank you for what you've done to display that love to us. Would you pierce the darkness and bring light into the hearts of this room tonight? In Christ's name we pray, amen.